I didn't know why you needed to clap for that. So ever since I was a kid, I've always had this perfect image of being the nice and friendly Christian boy. And well, today, I want to throw it all out the window. So here's the twist. Like, even though I grew up at church, I never understood what sin meant. I never really understood why I needed Jesus to die for me on the cross. Like, it never really hit me. Like, even though I grew up in Sunday school and I knew all these terms and I could answer every question really well and everyone's like, oh, you know your theology and all that kind of stuff, it never really hit me. Like, I didn't know the weight of sin that was in me, nor did I know the holiness of God and the fear of the Lord that comes with that. So, in the last 3 years of my life, like, God's been really hitting me hard and breaking me down in a way that I could actually see the depth of my own sin in my own heart. And it really, really hurt me. It really hurt my pride. And it really cut my heart to know this. But not just to know it in my head, but to actually let the reality of the gospel and of what God says in His Word, to let it soak in. I think in Psalm chapter 51, verse 4, the psalmist says to God, Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. So when I think deeper about this, I know the fantasies I've imagined in my head since I was a child. I know the self-centeredness and indifference and the lovelessness that I've had towards other people in my heart. I know the internet links that I clicked on with these fingers. I know the lies I've said with this tongue and this mouth. I know the images that I've seen with these eyes that I'm looking at you guys at with right now. And because of this, there was no way I could have a relationship with God. I was useless to Him. I didn't have a clue that I was created with the purpose to worship and to obey Him. And because of this, I was His enemy. I was a slave to sin. Anything that I did, no matter how moral or Christian it looked to other people, it wasn't righteous at all, because even the most moral things that I did, it wasn't about God. It was all about me, me, and me, and how I looked in front of other people. It was about how you church people, my family, and all my friends around me could see me in a good light and a good reputation. My life was all about me. It was self-centered, self-absorbed. And every single decision I ever made, big or small, was always about me. But here's the crux of it all. Even though I know I am the worst of sinners, the chief of sinners, and deep inside I know that I'm one of the most idolatrous people and wayward people you ever meet, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came down into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. That was from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. I know this, that even when I spat in His face and told God that I'd rather satisfy myself in all of creation rather than in the Creator, the Lord Himself, who is over all of creation, still chose to love me, to love a wretch like me, by humbling Himself to die for me on a cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This gospel, this good news, is the most beautiful reality that I have ever experienced and will ever experience. So right now, not only am I reconciled to the holy God of the universe who made me, but by the grace of God, my whole being has been redeemed and is still being redeemed in that sense. My heart has been transformed and my mind is constantly being renewed. My soul belongs to God and His Holy Spirit is always living in me. I believe that wholeheartedly. So to finish, I'm not that nice and friendly Christian boy everyone expects me to be, but I'm foremost a sinner who has been saved, reconciled, and redeemed by grace through faith and in grace and in Christ. I'm also a child of God and a servant of the Lord, still growing in holiness and Christ-likeness. That is who I am. So please pray for me, and I'll be praying for you guys too.
Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 to 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God.
Shall we pray before we look at God's word? Father, we thank you that you made us. You made us in your image. You give us great value as persons, that we have great worth in your eyes. And we thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself in the Bible, that we can know you, that we can have a personal relationship with you, that we can know ourselves. We pray, Lord, as we look at your word today, that you would speak to us, that you would open our eyes to understand reality, and soften our hearts to receive your truth, that our lives may be changed. So we pray for your spirit to be at work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when children fight, they draw a line in the middle of the room and they say, this is my side of the room, that's your side of the room. If you stay in your side and I stay in my side, we'll be fine. We'll get along. Adults are a bit more sophisticated. If you've heard of the DMZ, the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea, it's a bit of a buffer zone to keep two warring or nations that are in conflict apart. Sometimes between husbands and wives, one party might suck it in and tolerate the behavior of the other. They may not explode in anger, but implode and withdraw emotionally. A lady I know who lives with her brother and sister said to me, we live in peace because I have learned to keep my mouth shut and not get upset. But my question to you is that real peace? No, that is what we do to avoid conflict. That's not real peace. What is real peace? Real peace is when there is genuine relationship. So real peace is costly. When you've been hurt, when someone has done you wrong, there's a cost involved for you to forgive the person. You can't be friends until you deal with the offense, until you deal with the issue, until both of you sit down and talk about it and address the underlying issues. Until you own your part in the conflict, until someone is willing to apologize, and someone is willing to forgive. So real peace, so this morning I want to talk about real peace, and real peace is about reconciliation. When the relationship is restored, when you all are back together. Sadly, in the world today, often we don't find real peace. Relationships suffer because it's just too hard. It's just too difficult to deal with the offense because parties don't want to come to the table to settle their differences. Sometimes there's a broken relationship and one party doesn't even know that the other person has been hurt. The wife thinks everything is normal. She wakes up the next morning to a note saying, "I'm gone. I can't take this any longer." In today's passage that was read by Gloria, verse 19, it says this, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself." If God was reconciling the world to Himself, that means there was a broken relationship. There was a relationship breakdown. Because reconciliation means bringing parties at conflict, bringing parties at war, enemies, together. People who are not on good terms. And so what did God do? God was bringing people who were alienated from Him, people who were away from Him, His enemies, all human beings back to Him. Like the wife who didn't know that there was a relationship problem with her husband, often people do not realize that there is a relationship breakdown between us and God. In Australia, people often say, "God and me, we are mates." But it's just not true. God is actually hostile towards us. Let me try to explain where the breakdown occurred. What happened? Why is there a broken relationship between God and us? Why is God hostile towards the world? Why is God opposed to the world? Well, it's all about order. There's a certain order that has gone haywire. When there's a race, athletes are competing in the Olympics. You've got people running, and if you're fast, maybe your name is Usain Bolt, and you're running fast. And Usain always gets number one, isn't it? So anyway, so there's when it comes to presentation of medals, the person who gets first stands on the top of the platform, the podium. And the person who gets second stands on the second highest ledge on the platform. And the person who got third stands on the third highest ledge of the platform. So there's a certain order, isn't it? There's a certain justice. There's a certain rightness in this order. Well, when God made the world, He made it with a certain order. God, as the Creator, stands in position number one. People made in His image are in position number two. And the rest of creation, the animals, the the birds, the trees, everything that we see is in position number three. So that's how God ordered the world. The thing is that things are no longer in this order. As human beings, we have grasped to be God, to be like God. We have grasped for the first place, wanting to live independently of God, wanting to have our own way, to run our own lives, and to do our own things. We want to be number one. The Bible calls this rebellion sin. And the consequence of our rebellion is death. Death, physical death, that's why people die, but also spiritual death, where we are separated from God. We are alienated from God. We are God's enemies. We are not God's friends. The Bible puts it this way. We are objects of God's wrath. God is angry with the world that is in rebellion against Him. Imagine if you are taking part in a swimming competition, the backstroke, and you won the race. You won the race in record-breaking time. But when it came out to giving the medals, they gave your medal to the person who finished last. Worse, imagine if they gave your medal to a person who didn't even compete. That would be so wrong, isn't it? That would just be so wrong. But in a way, that's what it's like for human beings, non-competitors, to grasp for position number one. That is just not our place. That is just not our spot in the order. God alone deserves our worship and our adoration. God alone is to be worshipped and served, because God is the creator of life, the sustainer of life. Before coming to Livingstone, I was worked at a church in Manly, St. Matt's, and I was also a chaplain of the International College of Management, Sydney, ICMS. And in front of the college cafeteria, there was always one particular parking spot, and it had this sign, reserved for the founding owner of the college, Darrell Courtney O'Connor. Friends, because we have parked in God's spot, because we have grasped for what is not ours to have, we now live under God's judgment. Separated from God, the sentence of death hangs over our head. But thankfully, God has provided a solution. God has reconciled the world through Jesus. How did God do this? In verse 19, it tells us that God did this by not counting our sin against us. So you might ask, how can God not count my sin against me? Is it because God can overlook sin? Is it because God turns a blind eye? No. God takes sin very seriously. What God did was to provide a substitute, someone who took the fall for us, someone who was punished on our behalf. In verse 21, it explains, God made Him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, to be sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I need two volunteers. Tim, you look able-bodied, healthy, fresh. Leon. Tim, Leon, come on up. Hey, you won't do anything strange, yeah. Just up here. Okay, so Leon, I'll get you to just stand there for a moment. And this is, Tim is an ordinary human being, like every one of us. So let's get him. So let's say I'm God. Just saying. Just an illustration. Yeah. Okay. And if we are friends, what is the universal sign of friendship? Let's say a good handshake. Okay. But if we are enemies, then I turn away and Tim turns away. So this is the situation of the world. Because of our sin, God and us are enemies. We are opposed to each other. There is conflict in this relationship. But what state-of-the-art technology. Here we have it. Okay, that's Tim. Oops. Okay. Can you all see what's written on Tim? Just a slight turn. Sin is on Tim. It's sin, Tim rhymes, huh? Okay. Can you all see it? It's hard to see it, huh? Okay, let's see. Okay, so that's on Tim. So we are enemies because of sin. Okay, so what did God do? God, in His great love for the world, sent Leon. Yes, Leon is Jesus, of course. So Leon comes. Okay, and we need a bigger stage. Okay, anyway. So what does God do? God takes... Okay, Leon, maybe this way. Yeah. God takes the sin on human beings and puts it on a substitute. So Jesus takes the punishment that we deserve. He takes it on Himself. And He is punished. The judgment fell on Him. So that's what God did. But not only did God deal with our sin on the cross, because Leon is a perfect person, because Jesus is perfectly righteous, God then offers us a perfect record, a perfect righteousness that is not ours, that will never be ours, no matter how long we live, no matter how good we try to be. We can't attain God's perfect standard. So God offers Jesus' perfect life for us. And so this is on offer for Tim. Thank you, Jesus. Leon, you can go back. I can go back. Okay. Okay. So this is an on offer. So God has dealt with his anger towards our sin by punishing Jesus. So God is no longer opposed. He is facing us. But the world then has a choice. Will they continue in rebellion or will they stretch out their hand in friendship? So God is offering, God is saying, be friends with me. And Tim now has a choice. Will he continue to grasp for number one spot, to live life his own way, do his own thing? Or will he say, no, my position is number two in the podium, and I will submit to God's rule. I will no longer grasp for number one. So Tim, what will it be? Tim being coming from a Christian family, and so Tim turns around and shakes my hand. So we are friends. Oh, and this is what Tim had. Tim has Jesus' perfect righteousness throughout his life. Whenever God sees him, God can relate to him, he can relate to God because there is no longer any condemnation. Okay, thanks, Tim. I'm just going to show a movie clip that illustrates this. So have a watch.
Next.
A bit louder.
Aisle, please. Some lying, some stealing, and some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well,
Let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things, too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like, one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles.
I only read the articles! Next.
My mom goes to church.
I was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Okay. I really like the part in the clip when he says, hey, deja vu, there's a clip, the Matrix. It went back like, okay. Anyway, okay, I lost my train of thought. Okay, the movie clip. I really like the part in the movie clip where he says, next. And then he says, not you, him. Isn't that so wonderful? Isn't that so assuring? Like David was sharing in his testimony. When God exposes our heart, we realize that we are sinful people. That's reality. That's the truth. And if we will humbly accept that, if we'll humbly accept God's gift of His Son, who died in our place, on our behalf, God gives us a perfect record, clean, righteous in His eyes. And that is the only reason we can be saved and have a relationship with God. Heaven is a gift. It is not something we work for. It is not something we can ever earn or deserve. It is a gift. I just want to, for my final point, I want to flesh out what it means to be at peace with God. If we have been reconciled, that means we are now in a relationship with God. We have peace with God. And then God calls us to be peacemakers. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18, where God gives us a ministry of reconciliation. And verse 19, where He commits to us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation is about making peace between enemies, bringing enemies together. Firstly, between God and people, we share the good news about how God and people can become friends. But secondly, we also share the good news of how enemies, people and people, who are in conflict can be brought together again. We see this in Matthew 5, verse 9, where it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So as God's children, our role, one of the roles that we have, is to be a peacemaker. Sometimes the United Nations, they send in some troops, peacekeeping troops, into a warring country. And these peacekeepers try to maintain some sort of order in society. They try to maintain peace between the warring factions, but they never really deal with the underlying conflict. They are like the teacher who breaks up the fight in schools by pulling the boys apart. But the issue is not dealt with, so the boys still have anger, still may hate each other. So this is where there's application for us as God's people. If you're in school and two of your friends are fighting with each other, they're not on speaking terms, what do you do? It's easy not getting involved. But as peacekeepers, God wants us to get involved. And one simple thing that we can do is we can pray for them. We can pray that our friends will be reconciled. We can pray that they would resolve the conflict. And as you are praying, maybe God might give you insight into how to approach them, how to speak to them. As Christians, people who have the Bible, we understand reality. We are able to know what is the underlying problem. What's the underlying problem? And the underlying problem is that we are all sinners. So that means the issue is not something outside us. The issue is in us. It is our sin within us. We want to be number one. We want to please ourselves. And we don't mind trampling on other people. We don't mind ignoring or overlooking other people to get our own way. And so when your friends are in conflict, it's the same thing. Jean and I have at times struggled in our marriage. We both think that it is the other person who is the problem. But the truth is that both of us are the problem. Friends, you and I are our biggest relationship problem. So until we admit we are wrong, until we say sorry, we can't have real peace, genuine peace in our relationships. Real peace is costly because it requires humility to apologize. But as Christians, we are people of hope. We can have better relationships because of Jesus. One, because Jesus is our righteousness. We don't have to pretend to be right. We don't have to pretend to be good. We can be honest to admit our faults and our failures. Because God has forgiven us, we can learn to forgive people who have hurt us. Because God loves us unconditionally, fully knowing full well of our sinfulness, we can extend love and grace to other people. So how do we become a peacemaker? Get involved. Don't stay on the sidelines. People's lives are messy. There are no easy answers. But we have God with us. We have the weapons of prayer, righteousness, truth. We have the sword of the Spirit, God's Word. As I was preparing this talk, I thought of something that happened in Malaysia when Gina was on holidays. We were sitting at our family home and just talking about different things. And then my uncle started to complain about an aunt, about her behavior, about something that she had said. And someone else at the table said, "Oh no, she's not like that." Anyhow, my uncle didn't speak well of my aunt. And I was there at the table. I didn't say anything. In my mind, I was thinking, oh, this is my uncle, I should show him respect. But as I think about it, the reason I did not say anything is because I tend to avoid conflict. It's clean, it's safe, not getting involved. But God is not calling us to play it safe. God is calling us to get our hands dirty in pursuing peace. Now, thinking about it, I should have said, I think we shouldn't talk about my aunt as she's not here and she can't tell her side of the story. That's what it means to identify with Jesus. Often we think that we have to shove the gospel down someone's throat to identify with Jesus. But a way that we identify with Jesus is by sharing what we know is true in this situation. We shouldn't be gossiping, slandering other people. You know, as you live like this, some people won't like it. You may get some comments and criticism, but don't be dismayed, because it means that you are on the right track. You are a child of God. So this part of the Bible is in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and it has these other verses. Look at verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And what happens in verse 10? "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness." So some people won't be happy. You might be persecuted because you stand up for what is right, because you get involved in the conflict. And that, friends, is what God is calling us to be as His children, to be peacemakers. To conclude, a Christian is someone who lives a life of faith and repentance. Faith, trusting in Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. I've got nothing to boast. Repentance, because as Christians, we still grasp for number one. We still want to live lives our own way and do our own thing. We still struggle to submit to God's order, God's way of life. So today, I ask you to join me as I repent, because I fail to be a peacemaker. I settle for a life of comfort and conflict avoidance. If you are here today and you have not made peace with God, through this message, God is speaking to you and saying, "Receive this gift. Be reconciled to me. Be my friend." If you're already a Christian, God is calling you to be an ambassador of peace, to get involved. Sometimes we say, "Lord, forgive me for my sins," and it's very general, but it's good for us to repent of our own specific sins. And if we know ourselves, we know our hearts, we know what that is. So I'm going to pray for myself, and then I will give you a minute for you to pray to God and to talk to God. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I'm sorry that sometimes I want to look good, and so I don't get involved in conflict. Lord, thank you for your grace, for showing me this weakness, this area of not identifying with you. I pray, Lord, because I know that I cannot change myself, I pray for your Spirit to help me to face issues, to talk to people, Please change me so that I can live a life that pleases you through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll give you a minute for you to pray silently as well. Okay, we all can finish up. As you came to the service this morning, you would have received a bulletin, and in the bulletin there's a little response slip. And I would love for everyone to fill it. If anyone doesn't... do we have pens? May not be. If not, just borrow from your friends. So whether you are a Christian, non-Christian, whether you're a guest, whether this is your first time, if everyone can fill it, one of the reasons I want the regulars to fill is also because I'd like to know when your birthday is. I want to remember everyone for their birthdays. You don't have to give me your year. I don't need to know how old you are or how young you are, but just your day. So just 25th of June. Don't tell me the year. That's not necessary. And Cherry's got some pens. If anyone needs a pen, just put up your hand. And if you're a guest, you've been invited today, or if this in this talk you would like to find out more about being a friend of God, please tick that box. And if you have any comments that you would like to make, you can say that as well at the end. Or if there's a prayer request, is something that we can pray for you. You can put that down as well at the bottom of the page. Okay, anyone doesn't have a bulletin, you'd like a bulletin so you can have the form to fill in, just put up your hand as well. Because I'd love to remember everyone's birthday. Okay, all good. Anyone needs more time? A bit more time for Samuel. If your friend is not here,